for listening to VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English. Coming up on today's program, Brian Lynn reports on the Ebola vaccine in Uganda. Katie Weaver and John Russell have a story on roller skating. And Faith Perlow answers a question from a listener. Later, we listen to a story by Jack London called To Build a Fire. But first,
the World Health Organization, WHO, says it is preparing to deploy experimental Ebola vaccines to Uganda. The WHO's representative in Uganda, Jonas Tegeng Voldemariam, said Wednesday the deployment would happen in about 2 weeks. The two vaccines being sent to the East African nation are still undergoing development, but they aim to target the Ebola version currently spreading in Uganda. One vaccine was developed by a U.S.-based nonprofit, the Sabin Vaccine Institute. The other was developed by Britain's Oxford University and the Serum Institute in India. "We are getting closer and closer to deploying vaccines," Voldemariam told the Associated Press. "This is just another tool that we are going to try." Officials said health workers in Uganda were making final preparations to receive and give out the experimental vaccines. Ebola is a virus that can cause severe bleeding and organ failure. In serious cases, it can lead to death. A version of Ebola that came from Sudan is currently spreading in Uganda. So far, the virus has infected at least 60 people and killed 44 in Uganda, WHO officials said. Those numbers do not include people who likely died of Ebola before the latest outbreak was confirmed. Uganda declared the outbreak on September 20th. It happened in a rural farming community about 150 kilometers west of the capital, Kampala. Officials in the area have issued stay-at-home orders and other restrictions in an effort to contain virus spread. Ebola is passed through contact with bodily fluids of a sick person or by infected materials. Symptoms can include high temperature, vomiting, diarrhea, muscle pain, and bleeding. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states that scientists do not know where the Ebola virus came from. But based on similar viruses, they believe it likely starts in bats or non-human primates. Ugandan officials are still investigating the start of the current outbreak. Uganda has already had several Ebola outbreaks, including one in 2000 that killed more than 200 people. An outbreak of Ebola that started in West Africa in 2014 killed more than 11,000 people. Ebola was discovered in 1976 during two different outbreaks that happened at the same time in Sudan and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The virus was first identified in a village in the Congo near the Ebola River and that is where it got its name. I'm Brian Lynn.
Have you ever roller skated? This sporty and tricky activity involves rolling around on special wheeled shoes. People do it both indoors and outdoors. Roller skating was hugely popular in America in the 1970s and 1980s. Especially among children and young adults. Now, the Associated Press reports, roller skating is back in style. In Waltham, Massachusetts recently, people moved around an outdoor basketball court on a cool autumn night. But none of them were playing basketball. The court is now a place to roller skate. I had my eye on skates for a while. I saw they were making a comeback, said Waltham's Tammy Dunro Inman. The 48-year-old comes to the court every few days. I fall all the time, but it's pure joy, Inman said, with her new skates on her feet and a helmet on her head. The COVID-19 pandemic may have helped lead to renewed interest in skating. It is an accessible social and physical activity that can be done outdoors. It is linked with the fashion and music of the disco period in American culture. Later, in the 1990s, inline skates, or rollerblades, became the leading kind of roller skate. Over time, roller skating in general dropped in popularity.
Now, you can find temporary roller skating rinks set up in parks and on roadways. Roller skating is trending on social media. Skate meetups in large cities worldwide are common. New York City's Rockefeller Center held a skating rink this summer for the first time since 1940. Organizers advertised the event as bringing the magic of the 1970s with it. And then there are famous people on skates. Country music star Tyler Hubbard and rock and roller Madonna recently took some turns skating around a rink in New York's Central Park. The summer skating event was part of a disco celebration. Skating references are common in media of all kinds lately: music videos, magazine covers, movies. Stars of music, film, and the internet are among the producers. A 2019 HBO documentary, United Skates, presents roller skating as a lively black subculture. The filmmakers told the AP that they expected to be reporting the end of an era. But they found the opposite. As one young skater told them, skating's not dead, it just went underground. Harlech Skates is a skate boot maker based in San Carlos, California. It has been in operation since 1933. But owner Jason Kuhn says roller skate sales started to take off again in 2020. "I started seeing the orders roll in," he said. While roller skates used to be only 20% of Harlech's business, they are now more popular than ice skates. "It was hard to find workers, Not everyone knows how to do this kind of work, he said. Many adult roller skaters have not skated since they were children. This has resulted in a burst of online classes.
Nicole Fiore of Orange County, California, teaches skating skills and dance online. The 30-year-old is a 4-time roller skating world champion. She often missed school because she was at competitions. I've never seen people roller skating in grocery store parking lots before, and suddenly they're here, she said. I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. A day of skating can be a serious workout. There are several forms of roller skating, including competitive, speed, dance, and roller derby, a contact sport played between two teams. Anna Koto lives in Los Angeles and goes by the social media name @AnnaOkto. A 2020 TikTok video of her skating seemingly effortlessly to the Jennifer Lopez hit Jenny from the Block earned 2.5 million likes and millions more views. There was no intention, just to feel good and feel happy, not to find something to put on TikTok, she said. I started posting a skate journal really for myself. Then, Koto saw that people were interested in watching her skate. Koto, who is an actor, was later contacted for appearances in a movie and has since appeared in the Dua Lipa music video, Levitating. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm John Russell.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between pointless and futile. Dear teacher, I'm Aping from California. I read the article, Who Brings Sand to the Beach? I wondered what is the difference between the words pointless and futile. Thank you. I wish you all the best. Aping, your loyal reader. Dear Aping, these two words are often used as synonyms, or words that can be used to mean the same thing. But there are slight differences in usage. Let's start with pointless. Pointless is an adjective that means having no point, sense, or purpose. To be pointless is to be without meaning or aim. For example, we can say, It is pointless trying to talk to her. She will not listen. Driving home right now is pointless because traffic is so heavy. In a game or competition, pointless can also mean without a point scored. The game remained pointless at the end of the first half. Futile is also an adjective. It means not able to produce a desired result. It can mean ineffective or useless. We worked on the project for hours, but failed to fix the problem. All of our attempts were futile. voting for that candidate would be futile, as he did not win the nominating election. The main difference between these two words is that with futile, there is a goal or aim that cannot be reached by the methods attempted. With pointless, there is no goal or aim. Please let us know if these explanations have helped you, Aping. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
Our story today is called To Build a Fire. It was written by Jack London. Here is Harry Monroe with the story.
The man walked down the trail on a cold gray day. Pure white snow and ice covered the earth for as far as he could see. This was his first winter in Alaska. He was wearing heavy clothes and fur boots, but he still felt cold and uncomfortable. The man was on his way to a camp near Henderson Creek. His friends were already there. He expected to reach Henderson Creek by 6 o'clock that evening. It would be dark by then. His friends would have a fire and hot food ready for him. A dog walked behind the man. It was a big gray animal, half dog and half wolf. The dog did not like the extreme cold. It knew the weather was too cold to travel. The man continued to walk down the trail. He came to a frozen stream called Indian Creek. He began to walk on the snow-covered ice. It was a trail that would lead him straight to Henderson Creek and his friends. As he walked, he looked carefully at the ice in front of him. Once he stopped suddenly, and then walked around a part of the frozen stream. He saw that an underground spring flowed under the ice at that spot. It made the ice thin. If he stepped there, he might break through the ice into a pool of water. To get his boots wet in such cold weather might kill him. His feet would turn to ice quickly. He could freeze to death. At about 12 o'clock, the man decided to stop to eat his lunch. He took off the glove on his right hand. He opened his jacket and shirt and pulled out his bread and meat. This took less than 20 seconds, yet his fingers began to freeze. He hit his hand against his leg several times until he felt a sharp pain. Then he quickly put his glove on his hand. He made a fire, beginning with small pieces of wood and adding larger ones. He sat on a snow-covered log and ate his lunch. He enjoyed the warm fire for a few minutes. Then he stood up and started walking on the frozen stream again. A half hour later, it happened. At a place where the snow seemed very solid, the ice broke. The man's feet sank into the water. It was not deep, but his legs got wet to the knees. The man was angry. The accident would delay his arrival at the camp. He would have to build a fire now to dry his clothes and boots. He walked over to some small trees. They were covered with snow. In their branches were pieces of dry grass and wood left by floodwaters earlier in the year. He put several large pieces of wood on the snow under one of the trees. On top of the wood, he put some grass and dry branches. He pulled off his gloves, took out his matches, and lighted the fire. He fed the young flame with more wood. As the fire grew stronger, he gave it larger pieces of wood. He worked slowly and carefully. At 60 degrees below zero, a man with wet feet must not fail in his first attempt to build a fire. While he was walking, his blood had kept all parts of his body warm. Now that he had stopped, cold was forcing his blood to withdraw deeper into his body. His wet feet had frozen. He could not feel his fingers. His nose was frozen, too. The skin all over his body felt cold. Now, however, his fire was beginning to burn more strongly. He was safe. He sat under the tree and thought of the old men in Fairbanks. The old men had told him that no man should travel alone in the Yukon when the temperature is 60 degrees below zero. Yet here he was. He had had an accident. He was alone. And he had saved himself. He had built a fire. Those old men were weak, he thought. A real man could travel alone. If a man stayed calm, he would be all right. The man's boots were covered with ice. The strings on his boots were as hard as steel. He would have to cut them with his knife. He leaned back against the tree to take out his knife. Suddenly, without warning, a heavy mass of snow dropped down. His movement had shaken the young tree only a tiny bit, but it was enough to cause the branches of the tree to drop their heavy load. The man was shocked. He sat and looked at the place where the fire had been. The old man had been right, he thought. If he had another man with him, he would not be in any danger now. The other man could build the fire. Well, it was up to him to build the fire again. This time, he must not fail. The man collected more wood. He reached into his pocket for the matches. But his fingers were frozen. He could not hold them. He began to hit his hands with all his force against his legs. After a while, feeling came back to his fingers. The man reached again into his pocket for the matches. But the tremendous cold quickly drove the life out of his fingers. All the matches fell onto the snow. He tried to pick one up, but failed. The man pulled on his glove and again beat his hand against his leg. Then he took the gloves off both hands and picked up all the matches. He gathered them together. Holding them with both hands, he scratched the matches along his leg. They immediately caught fire. He held the blazing matches to a piece of wood. After a while, he became aware that he could smell his hands burning. Then he began to feel the pain. He opened his hands, and the blazing matches fell onto the snow. The flame went out in a puff of gray smoke. The man looked up. The dog was still watching him. The man got an idea. He would kill the dog and bury his hands inside its warm body. When the feeling came back to his fingers, he could build another fire. He called to the dog. The dog heard danger in the man's voice. It backed away. The man called again. This time the dog came closer. The man reached for his knife, but he had forgotten that he could not bend his fingers. He could not kill the dog because he could not hold his knife. The fear of death came over the man. He jumped up and began to run. The running began to make him feel better. Maybe running would make his feet warm. If he ran far enough, he would reach his friends at Henderson Creek. They would take care of him. It felt strange to run and not feel his feet when they hit the ground. He fell several times. He decided to rest a while. As he lay in the snow, he noticed that he was not shaking. He could not feel his nose, or fingers, or feet. Yet he was feeling quite warm and comfortable. He realized he was going to die. Well, he decided, he might as well take it like a man. There were worse ways to die. The man closed his eyes and floated into the most comfortable sleep he had ever known. The dog sat facing him, waiting. Finally, the dog moved closer to the man and caught the smell of death. The animal threw back its head. It let out a long, soft cry to the cold stars in the black sky. And then it turned and ran toward Henderson Creek, where it knew there was food and a fire.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.